What a timeless message. Thank God that one day Jesus died. One day he arose. And listen, as surely one day he's coming again. And I'm thankful for that. Look in God's word today, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And I want to read several verses with you together. And I want you to read them right out loud with me. We're going to read verses 1 through 4. We're going to read them together. We're going to think about what God is saying here to you and what he's saying to me. So get your Bible there, Colossians 3, 1 through 4. Let's read together. Ready? If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now, I want to call your attention, verse 3. Look at it. If you're in the habit of marking in your Bible, I want you to mark a phrase, and I want you to think about it. What does it mean? What does it mean? Hid with Christ. Do you see that? Hid with Christ. We're looking at 2018 being a year to abound in Jesus Christ. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he said, I've taught you how you ought to walk and how you ought to please God. And he said, I'm exhorting you and beseeching you that you abound more and more. We ought to abound in our walk with Christ. We ought to abound in our fruitfulness for Jesus Christ. We ought to abound in how we please Jesus Christ. Listen to me carefully. The Christian life is designed where you are either growing or you're dying. You're going forward or you're going backward. There is no status. There is no static. There's no standing still. There's no medium. You're either hot or you're cold. You're going forward or you're going backward. You say, well, I've been in the same spiritual condition for the last 40 years. Well, friend, you better check up. Something's not right. Because you're either going forward for Christ or you're going backwards. You're growing or you're dying. And the key to all of that, the key to abounding, the key to growing, is if your life is hid with Christ. What is Paul talking about here? What does it mean to have our life hid with Christ? Well, I want to tell you this. I want to say this to all Southerners and Southern churches. Being hidden with Christ has much more than Jesus having a part of your life. Can I tell you something, friend? He doesn't want to have a part of your life. He wants all of it. And he wants preeminence. He wants preeminence. He doesn't want a part of your life. You see, that's what we've done. We've just given Jesus a part of, we've made Jesus a part of our life. We made him part of our Sunday life. We come to church on Sunday, we made him part of our Sunday life. But can I tell you something, friend? He wants all of it. He wants all your Sunday life and Monday life and Friday life and Saturday life. He wants everything in between. And our life is to be hid with Jesus. I've been speaking these last couple of Sundays because if we're going to abound in 2018, we have to have a life that's rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. I want you to look at your roots. What are your roots? And that's what Paul's talking about here. He's talking about our hidden life with Christ. Now, what is he saying? Look at this. He's saying, first of all, we understand that when Jesus was crucified, we died with him. Look at verse number 3. For ye are dead. And I think that's a testimony to most Baptist churches. We could just stop right there. You're dead. If Jesus came today, most of us would go first. The dead in Christ shall rise first. I mean, most churches, we just go get the dirt and just cover them over. They're gone. They're dead. It's over. Now, he said, wait a minute, you're dead with Christ. That's a doctrinal position that when Jesus died on Calvary, I died with him. But when Jesus was buried, I was buried with him. But when he rose from the dead, I was raised with him. Look at verse 1. Look at verse 1. He said, if ye then be risen with Christ. Now, he's not saying if, as I suppose. You know, if it snows in Mississippi. if we're going to have good weather this week. He's not talking about an I suppose if. He's talking about since. If. What are you talking about? Like, well you tell your wife says, hey, we're going to run over to go shopping. And we say, well, if we're going shopping, I want to stop by the hardware store. If we're going out, as long as we're going, if we're going shopping, I want to go look at the guns. Can I get an amen, men? I just mentioned tools and guns in the same sentence, and you men are looking at me dead as a doornail. Now look, if we're going to go shopping, at least I can go look at the guns and hold them and smell them and, you know, work the action. Hey, do I have a witness today? Are there any men in this room? Or are you scared, hempecked, or whatever? Do I have a bunch of men that are hanger squeakers in here, or do I got some gun cockers in here, huh? Okay. Now, what we're saying is not if we're going, but if we're going, since we're going. And what Paul's saying here is not if you're risen with Christ, like I suppose, but if you are, since you are. Since you're risen with Jesus. If you died with him, and you were buried with him, and he rose again, and you rose with him, since you're risen with Christ, now you're dead, and your life is hid. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about a rooted life. There's no question he's talking about our hidden life. Let me show it to you. Look over at chapter 1. Paul is trying to get the Colossian church, this church at Colossae, he's trying to get them to understand that there are many things coming into the church that are trying to draw them away from Christ, draw them from their source of life, draw them into false doctrine, to worldly living, and all sorts of things. And Paul is saying, look, you need to check up on your roots. Look at verse number 1, or chapter 1, verse number 9. He said, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will. With all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul said, look, I'm praying for you that you could be filled with what God's will for your life is. That you'll be filled with the knowledge of that. That you have wisdom how to do it. And you have spiritual understanding in living for Christ. A spiritual understanding. Now watch this. Why? Why does he want you to understand that? Why does he want you to know that? Verse number 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being, what's the next word, church? Fruitful. You know what Paul's saying? I want you to abound in fruitfulness with the Lord. Well, if you're going to abound in fruitfulness with the Lord, there's got to be a hidden thing inside of you filled with knowledge, filled with wisdom, filled with spiritual understanding. There's got to be a hidden life that can come out into a fruitful life. Look over at chapter 2. I'm sorry, look at chapter 1 again, verse 23. Look at verse 23. If ye continue, Paul's telling them, so if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Look at what he's saying. He says, I want you to get grounded and settled. What's he talking about? He's talking about roots. He's talking about roots. He's talking about a hidden life. Get rooted, get grounded, get settled in the hope of the gospel. Look at chapter 2. Look at verse number 6. As ye have received, therefore, Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. How are you going to walk in Christ? How are you going to live in Christ? How are you going to conduct yourself as Christ? Verse number 7, rooted and built up in him. You see what Paul's talking about? He's talking about the hidden life. What does it mean? What does it mean that your life is hidden with Christ? Well, he's talking about your rooted life. You walk out here today and you look at all these beautiful trees. And you can see their trunk, their branches, their limbs, their leaves, their needles, their cones. You can see all that. You see the bark, you can see all of it. But I'll tell you what you can't see. You can't see their roots. Their roots are hidden. But everything that you see up here above ground, how it's growing and how it's living, comes from its hidden life. Amen. Let me tell you something, church. Listen to me. I can look in this church today, and you can look in my life today, and by their fruits ye shall know them. But I am not a Christian by what you see all out here. I'm a Christian by what's growing underneath the surface. I'm hidden with Christ. Now, you need to know that. You need to know that. The apostle wants you to understand, if you're dead, then it just makes sense that your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, it's evident that the hidden life is the rooted life. Roots are not seen, but roots are essential. Listen, if you start having tree rot, I'll promise what you have. You have root rot. You've got a problem in the roots. If you've got something at home that's not bearing fruit, you better check the root. And Jesus said this. Jesus said, I'm the vine. Ye are the branches. If ye abide in me, ye shall bring forth fruit. If ye abide in me and my word abide in you, ye shall bring forth much fruit. Here's what he's saying. If you are living in me, then you're going to be fruitful. My life will be in you. And if you live in me and you let my life and my word flow through you, you're going to bring more fruit than you know what to do with. In other words, you're going to abound. If you'll get rooted in Christ and you'll get a hidden life with Jesus Christ, you're going to abound. Let me tell you something, Christian. Your Christian life, listen to me, your Christian life is not who you are at church. Your Christian life is not who you are in public. Your Christian life is not who you are around everybody else. Your Christian life is not who you are in the daylight. Your Christian life is who you are in the dark. He that dwelleth under the shadow of the Almighty abideth in the secret place. Job said in Job 29, that I may be all that I were as in months past, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle. Jesus said, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You go into that hidden life with God, and you come out with fruit. I'll tell you why many Christians are not fruitful. We're not fruitful because we're not rootful. We're not letting our roots grow. Now, Paul gives us three words that explain the life of roots. And I want you to see, listen to me, I want you to see. You see, sir, ma'am, I don't care what your problem is. I don't know what your family problem is. I don't know what's on your mind today. I don't know why you're here today. Maybe you're looking for some magical sprinkling of something that's going to just magically help your family get together or your finances get better or whatever. I don't know what you're looking for. But no, listen, what we're going to find here today is we're going to find Christ. And when you find Christ, you find all in all. You want to fix your home? You want to fix your home? Then husbands, love like Christ. Wives, submit like Christ. Children, obey like Christ. You want to fix your finances? Then give like Christ. Steward like Christ. You want to fix the ills of the world? Then live like Christ. Walk like Christ. You see, it's all in Christ. Your life is hidden with Christ. Heard about a man came to a preacher one time and said, preacher, you just got to pray for me. I think I'm loving my wife too much. And he said, do you love her like Jesus loves the church? And he said, oh, no, not that much. And he said, well, then go home and get to work. You see, we can deceive ourselves that everything's okay on the surface. But let me tell you something, friend, it's in the root. And if your roots are not in Jesus Christ, hidden away in Christ, then you are not going to bear fruit for Jesus Christ. And Paul said, I want you to understand it. Your life is hidden with Christ. Now, he said, I want you to understand the way roots work. There's three words that explain the way roots work. First of all, I want you to see it. Verse 1. Look at it. If, or since, ye then be risen with Christ. What's the next word, church? Seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. What do roots do? Roots begin to spread out and they seek for nutrition. They seek for the moisture. Here in Mississippi, our water table is a little higher, and this is why so many of our trees fall over in storms and snap the power lines and they become hazardous to our homes. You know why? Because the root systems on these trees are very shallow. They're fibrous and they reach out. Listen, there's a tree over there in Africa. It's called the shepherd's tree. That tree, it has a taproot on it that has to go down some 280 feet. In many cases, 280 feet to find water. Rooted. Years ago, I hope I'm not getting myself in trouble when I say this. I almost didn't tell you this, but I need to do it. I hope the statute of limitations have passed, if there's any rule in Mississippi about it. It was 10 years ago. I've been here 12 years. It was 10 years ago. My wife wanted a dogwood tree at our house. I don't know if it's against the law. I never looked at it. I hope I don't get in trouble. My wife wanted a dogwood tree, and I said, let's go find one. So I loaded up our vehicle, got a trailer on it. We took off. We just did a ride through the woods. It was wonderful. I found a place with some woods, and there was a dogwood tree. It was growing. I said, now, it can't be real big. It's got to be little. It's got to be a little tree. And we found a place, and there was a little dogwood growing out there in the middle of this forest. Listen, I tell you, it wasn't easy to get to. I had to go through three fences and a no trespassing sign, and it was terrible. It's hard to dig up a tree when someone's shooting at you. You know that? I got that shovel. I got me a little tree. I thought, this thing's not too big. This shouldn't be easy. I dug. Let me tell you something. I dug and dug and dug. And she said, what's taking so long? And I said, the roots. They're everywhere. I got that thing rooted up. I had to go home and dig. I know somebody, if they saw me, they thought I was digging a grave. I had to dig about a 4-foot hole. Deep, 4 foot deep, wide, to put transplant that tree into. Now, it's growing. I didn't kill it. All right, it's still growing. Al Gore would be happy. It'll be blooming here before too long in my backyard. Now, I tell you what took me so long to do, that tree had begun to seek out. Its roots began to spread. Now, this little old spindly tree was standing there, but its roots were spreading out. You know why I believe many of us have root problems? Is we're not seeking the things above. We're not letting our roots begin to explore and seek our new life in Christ. Jesus said, you're too worried about what you'll wear and what you'll eat and what you'll have today and what's going to happen tomorrow. You're too worried about all the things in this life. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Get your roots in Christ and seek that first. Jesus taught us to pray. He said to pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. When we're praying for God's will to be done, what are we doing? We're rooting, we're spreading our roots through heaven in Christ. We're looking for that heavenly life, that hidden life in Jesus to come through us. The reason why many Christians aren't growing is we're not seeking. We're not seeking in our roots. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The question is, friend, are you seeking? Jesus told us to seek and ye shall find. The roots are beginning to spread out and seek. I'll tell you what that word seek is telling us. The Lord is talking about your ambition. What is your ambition? What is the drive of your life? What are you looking for in this world? Listen, I've told you many times, you can come to this church and you can look for certain things in a church. You can look for a good church. You can look for a church that meets your fancy. You can go all over town seeking, and you'll find churches, and you'll seek through those churches, and I'll tell you what you'll find. You'll find problems here and problems there and problems here and problems there. But if you come to a church and you come to this church and you're seeking Jesus, you'll find him. You find what you're seeking. Your ambition. What are you seeking for? Many of us are getting up in the morning and we're running ragged because we're seeking for gold. We're seeking for money. We're seeking for happiness. We're seeking for pleasure. And God is simply saying to you, listen to me, since you're risen with Christ, you're risen with Christ, now your ambition should be, I want that life. I want that life. I want to spread my roots in glory. I want the life of Christ to live in me. You see, the church here in Colossae was being pulled this way and that way. And they begin to seek for other things. Look at chapter 2, verse 8 very quickly. Paul told them, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world. Listen, we are not of the world. We're risen with Christ. He's in glory. And he said, don't you become fooled. Don't you be deceived by the rudiments, by the elements, by the things of this world, by the worldly wisdom. You see, let me tell you what happened. You remember in the book of Acts? Remember in the book of Acts when they said about these men, these are they that have turned the world upside down. Remember that? See, when man fell into sin, man was guilty by eating the fruit of the wrong tree. When man ate the fruit of that tree, what it did was it rooted man into a wisdom that was earthly, sensual, and devilish. Man has been walking in a wisdom of this earth ever since. He's been walking earthly. He's been walking by his own senses. He's been walking in a sensual life. He's been walking under the dictates of Satan in this world. But when the gospel came and Jesus died and buried and rose again, he went back on high. Let me tell you what he did. He turned the world upside down. We're no longer rooted in this world. We're rooted in that world. Several years ago, they came up with this idea about planting tomato plants in a 5-gallon bucket. You remember that? Letting them grow upside down. You remember that? You know, that's exactly what a Christian is. Not buried in the earth. He's risen with Christ in heaven. He's where Jesus is. Our roots are up there. And our roots ought to be seeking throughout heaven, seeking for that life in Christ so that we can bear fruit that men can walk by and eat. Enjoy the life of Christ, the Spirit of Christ. I hope you're listening today. You see, the world here was following worldly wisdom. This church was following worldly wisdom. They were seeking the wisdom of this world. Listen, you walk in the wisdom of this world, friend, it'll take you right to hell. The world's wisdom is wrong. It'll say, get all you can, make all you can, sit on the can, burn the rest. That's what the world's wisdom is. God said, give, and it shall be given unto you. The man will say, you got to climb over everybody in the business to get to the top. Jesus said, humble yourself and he'll lift you up. You can't walk in the world's wisdom. Seeking the world's wisdom. They were seeking the world's worship. I don't have time to go through all of chapter 2 with you today, but they were seeking the world's worship. This church at Colossae started to be moved away, and they were starting to follow rituals. Observing new moons and fasts and feasts and don't eat this and don't eat that. They were following a ritualistic life. Let me tell you something, friend. A list of do's and don'ts is not going to make you one more inch like Jesus Christ. All it's going to do is tell to your neighbors that Jesus is nothing more than a list of do's and don'ts. Paul said, we have much more. We have much more than touch not, taste not, handle not. I mean, can you imagine? The Christian life is like a building. It's like a baby. Can you imagine a contractor when he's building a building just walking around telling the guys, hey, don't bend nails. Hey, cut straight. Don't cut crooked. Well, how much of the building's going to get built if he's just telling people not to bend nails and not cut crooked? No, listen to me. He's got to tell them what we're building. You don't just say to a mom, hey, well, how do I raise this baby? Well, don't feed it arsenic. Don't leave it outside in the cold. Don't leave it in the hot car. Now, listen. Hey, look, the Bible's not just about do's and don'ts. The Bible's about a new life in Christ. Listen, friend, if you start letting Jesus flow through your life, you don't have to worry about the do's and don'ts. He'll guide. He'll lead. He'll lead you to godliness. He'll lead you to holiness. I can give you a list, and I'll tell you what you'll do with that list. You'll take the rituals, and you'll make a religion out of it. And then you'll walk around, according to Colossians chapter 2, you'll walk around with a show of wisdom and your show of godliness. But it's nothing more than a show. And when you boil it all down, it's not God worship, it's will worship. Many Christians have fooled themselves because I don't do this, and I don't go there, and I don't do this. I'm a good Christian. Well, let me tell you something, friend. I don't care what you're not doing. Is Jesus flowing through your life? Is he living in you? That's the question. Where's your hidden life? I'm not looking at your public life or what you don't do in the light. I want to find out what you are doing with Christ in the dark. You know, it's interesting. It gets real quiet when we talk about that. You just feel that settling of a... You know, an old farmer said one time, if you're plowing along and you hit a stump, let me tell you what you do. You just back up the mules and you hit the stump again until you get it out. I think we just hit a stump. The Lord's not concerned with what your list of regulations and rules and rituals. You've been saved for a higher life than that. God doesn't want you to not do this and to do this. He wants you to die, and he wants Christ to live in you. I believe many Christians have become so lost in what the Christian life really is. The Christian life is not about you and it's not about me. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and it's his life in us. And the only way you can have that is when you find that hidden life with him. Let me give you the second thing very quickly. Second thing about roots. Roots, the ambition of a root is to seek. It's looking for nutrition. It's looking for moisture. It's looking for life. The second thing it does, let me tell you what a root does, is look at chapter 3, verse number 2, first word, ready? Set your affections on things above. You know what tree roots do for the tree? It sets that tree in place. It establishes it. It sets. Now, friend, I want you to see something. Is your life hid with Christ? Well, if it is, let me tell you where Christ is. 40 days after his resurrection, 40 days, Jesus got up and he walked through Jerusalem, walked right past Calvary. He walked right past the empty grave. He walked right past the Garden of Gethsemane. He crossed over the little brook of Kidron. He walked up the Mount of Olives. His disciples were filled with all kinds of questions. And Jesus had one answer to them. He said, wait. He got on a cloud and he went back to heaven. He had already died, buried, rose again, and he went to heaven. He walked into those golden streets. He walked past those gates of pearl. He walked down Heaven's Avenue. He walked into the praise and the adoration of the angels. He walked through that place. He walked right up to the very throne of God, that great white throne of majesty and glory. And Jesus sat down on that throne, establishing his authority and his place as the risen Savior in control. And let me tell you what he did. He took you with him. And he said, your roots are in here with me. Your life is in here with me. And where am I? I'm in heaven. Now, I want you to seek the things where I sit. You seek the things of God. You seek the things of glory. You seek the things of godliness. You seek the things that only can come from God. You seek the Holy Spirit. You seek out his life. You seek his word. You get your roots deep into godliness and holiness and brotherly kindness and the fruit of the Spirit. And you begin to seek. You get your roots seeking. Now watch this. And then it sets you. What does it set? It sets your affection. You see, seeking is your ambition. But where you set, that's your affection. That's your affection. Set your affection on things above. I'll tell you something right now. A man that will set his affection on his wife won't mess around with the secretary at work. A man that is rooted in that relationship needs nothing else. And I'll tell you this, a Christian whose roots are in Christ and he is seeking Christ and he is set, his heart is set on Jesus Christ, you won't find him bouncing in and out of church. You won't find him hot and cold. You won't find him in season, out of season. No, listen to me, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in his season. Now watch this, and his leaf also shall not wither. You don't see Christians who are rooted at the rivers of revival that come from the throne of God. You don't see Christians that are rooted there in Christ withering up and dying every season. His leaf also shall not wither. Why? Because his roots are seeking the things of God. His heart is set on the things of God. Listen, what you seek is what you love. What's the first thing you seek for in the morning? What's the first thing you reach for in the morning? You're looking for your phone, start going through all the posts. Are you looking for the Lord? Are you reaching out in prayer, taking hold of the word of God and seeking time with him? I'm talking about a hidden life now. Don't tell me you love God if you're not seeking him, if you're not set on him, if your affection's not set on him. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What does that man do? What he gives his heart to, he's set on. It's what he becomes. What does the Bible say in the book of Isaiah 26, verse 3? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Listen, when a man gets his affection set on God, that man is in peace. He's set and he's established. Listen, you get a man who has set his affections on Christ, the winds of change will not blow him down. The winds of adversity won't blow him down. I remember as a little boy standing out at the window looking at that big old tree they had on that highest point in the city in Colorado Springs, that big old tree out there, big old pine tree, set up there where the winds would blow across those prairies. And it wasn't one of these old weak pines that get a few inches of snow and snap the limbs. It was the sturdy kind that doesn't mind the snow. That old tree stood out there, and when the wind would blow, you'd see that old tree bow to the wind this way, bow to the wind that way. But I'll tell you what it was doing. It was breaking up that rocky soil down there by his roots. And that tree, when that soil would broke, it would just expand its roots. That tree stood for years and years and years and took the worst of storms, but there it stood. You know, we need some Christians that can take adversity, and all adversity does is help you to root deeper in Christ. Charles Haddon Spurgeon one time said, he thanked God for every wave that slammed him on the rock of ages. Can I tell you something, friend? I see Christians, man, a little adversity comes in their life and they're gone. Makes me think, the ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff that the wind drives away. Tossed to and fro with every wave, with every change. Their affection's not set in Christ. I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you seeking the things above, and are you set in your affection on Christ? Do you love him? The angel came to the church of Ephesus and said, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Do you love Jesus today? I mean, can you really sing the song, I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today? Do you love him? Set your affection. Let me give this to you lastly. Here's what he said. Look at it. Look at verse number 5. We read verse 4. He said, for Christ who is our life. You see that? For Christ who is our life. You see verse 4, for Christ, who is our life. Who is the life of the Christian? It's Christ. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What was Paul saying? Paul said, you're not seeing Paul. Paul dies daily and Christ lives in Paul. Why? Because Paul was seeking the things above. Paul's affection was set on things above. So what was Paul doing? Paul was letting Christ's life flow through him. What's he talking about here? Here's what he's talking about. This is what roots do. What do? Roots seek out through the soil. Roots set the tree in place. What else do roots do? Roots supply the tree with life. Roots allow the supply to flow. Now here's what he told. Here's what he warned. Paul's warning was, look, your roots are going to supply your life, so you better be very careful where you put your roots. Look at verse 5. Mortify, that means to murder, to kill, to put to death. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Don't let the members of your body get rooted in the earth. Why? Because what's in the earth? Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which ye also have walked sometime, wherein ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. What's he talking about? He said, your roots are going to determine what is supplied to your tree. Is it going to be the flesh? Listen to me. If you put your roots into this world, I'll tell you what you're going to reap. You're going to grow the fruit of fornication. You're going to grow the fruit of a life of sexual immorality, a life of spiritual idolatry. You'll grow a life of religion and rejecting God, of sin and self, and it'll all be told. You'll have an angry spirit, an unforgiving spirit, a bitter spirit, a lying tongue, and you'll let unclean communication come out of your mouth. Dirty stories, filthy words, cursing, cussing, blasphemy against God. God pity us to live in the world today as God's people and Christians who claim that we have the life of Christ in us to allow filthy four-letter words to fall out of our mouths. Christ is your life. He's to flow through. Your roots are to be so deep in Christ, he flows through you and you bear fruit of holiness and love and peace and joy, forgiveness, cleanness. Let me show you what I'm talking about and we're done. Look over here at 2 Peter. You're in Colossians right now. Just go back towards the end of the Bible. You'll find some little books back there. Right after Hebrews, you'll find James, then 1 Peter, then 2 Peter. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Everybody still with me today? And we're going to close right now, but I want you to hear it. I want you to see it from God's Word. By the way, this is the preaching that church, God's people need to hear this. We're so in love with the world. God said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Why? Because what you put your affection on, your roots are going to seek after. And what your roots get in is going to get in you. And if you get in the world will get in you. And the world will spring out through your fruit in your life. And it'll be unclean and fornication and adultery and wickedness and every evil work against God. Get your roots in Jesus. Set your heart on Jesus. Get deep in the Lord Jesus Christ and let him flow through your life. Let him supply for Christ, who is our life. Paul said, Christ is my life. Why, Paul? Why is Christ your life? Because I'm dead. I died with him. And now he lives in me. Listen, this is what Peter was saying about it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. According to his divine power, he hath given unto us all things that pertain unto what, church? Life. What is a root supply to the tree? Life. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. It is through the knowledge of Jesus Christ that we have life and godliness. Look at verse number 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Listen, he said, here's what happened. Through Christ, you are partakers of a divine nature. Your life comes from heaven and not the earth. You've escaped the corruption of the earth because you're in Christ and he's seated in heaven and you're seated with him. Amen. And what happens? What happens when I find my life there in the heavens, seated at the right hand of God with Jesus Christ, hidden with him? What happens to my life? Look at verse number 5. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you, and what, church? Abound. They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If your roots are there and your heart is there, my ambition and my affection is going through up there. Listen, if my affections are set on heaven and my life is seeking heaven, heaven flows through me. Amen. Godliness, brotherly kindness, charity, peace. All these things come through the life of the believer and make the believer abound in fruit. But what happens, Brother Miller, if we don't put our roots in Jesus Christ? What happens? What happens? What happens? Look at it, verse number 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, watch this, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. He gets tapped back into the same things God rooted him out of. And he gets tapped back in. And here's a man that came to faith in Christ and goes right back to the ditch he was dug from and begins to grow. Uncleanness and ungodliness. Blind and living a life in blindness and forgetting that he was purged. Friend, let me tell you what Jesus did on Calvary. He took you to that cross. And he let you die with him. He carried the pain and the shame and the anguish. He took it all. The wrath of God fell on him. And you were hidden in him. All I can think of is Noah. How God put Noah in that ark and shut him in. And there Noah in the ark, which is a beautiful picture of Christ. He's shut in that ark. And on Noah fell not one drop of the wrath of God. Not one wave hit Noah in the face. Oh no, Noah was safe and dry in that ark. His life was hidden in there. But the rain fell on that ark. The waves beat on that ark as it did upon Jesus. But we were hidden in him. We were buried in that ark. Carried into that tomb. But thank God, he arose from the dead. The door was opened. We stepped out with a new life. Christ is our life. He rose up there to glory. He's in heaven today. The Christian's life has been turned upside down. He's rooted up, not down. Now the world can't see that. The world can't see that. To the world, you look just like them. You got two eyes, a nose, two ears. But I'll tell you what they can see. They can see the fruit that can only come through the root that's firmly fixed in heaven. And that old sinner can walk by your life and taste a little bit of heaven and say, boy, that's something. There's something different about that guy. All I get from people at work is bitterness and anger and wrath. All I get from people at work is they hit on me and adultery and fornication and uncleanness and cursing. There's something different about that guy. He prays. There's something different about that guy. He loves people. There's something different about that lady. She's God. There's something different about them. I'll tell you what it is. It's the life of Christ in you. And people can taste and see that God is good. And through a life that is rooted in Christ, that's bearing fruit for Christ, draws people to Christ. You want to abound this year? You want to abound this year for Christ? Don't show me what you're going to do out here. Get a hidden life. Get alone with Jesus. Root in him. Seek him. Let those roots spread out. Let your life take in as much as Christ can give you. Let it grow. Let fruit abound. Seek it. Let him set you fixed, established, rooted, grounded, settled, unmovable, but always abounding in the work of the Lord. Friend, I want to say something to you today. The reason why I believe many Christians are not rooted in Christ is they've never died with him. They've never come to the cross of Calvary and expected to find deliverance from their sin. Don't you think for a minute that you get rooted in Christ because you join a church or you got baptized in a creek somewhere or you prayed a prayer. Listen to me, we're not saved by a plan, a place, or a prayer. We're saved by a person, Jesus Christ. You have to meet Jesus. Lord, Lord, have we not done all these things? I mean, look at what we grew with our lives. Yes, but I never knew you. You were not rooted in me. You've got to know me. My life has to be in you. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. But you have to be in Christ. Now, I'm simply saying today, I want you to look deep down in the hidden places of your heart. Where are your roots today? Are you rooted in Christ? If you're not, you can be. You can be today. Christian, are there some things that need to be cut off? You're starting to get into this world and letting the world get in you. They need to cut off. Get your roots and your affection back on Christ. Today I'm challenging, I'm preaching, I'm telling you. If you're going to abound in Christ this year, it's going to be based on your roots. Let's get rooted in Christ. Let him supply the life that we need to live. Without him, we can do nothing. Our heads are bowed. Lord Jesus Christ, I come to you again.